It is great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here on this very gloomy and rainy day. If you are visiting with us, thank you very much for being here with us. We also like to thank those who are, as Justin mentioned, worshiping virtually with us today. It is a beautiful place here at Azalea City with a beautiful people, beautiful leadership, and I'm certainly excited to be a part of this place. I'm also excited to let you know that 2020 is almost over. I know we're all excited about that. But at the end of the day, hey, we want to end this year the way it should be. We are now entering what we know as the giving season, right? It's the time of the year where people are going to give gifts, literally. They're going to give meals. They're going to give care. They're going to give cards. They're going to give a lot of different things. And in our class this morning, we're talking about 1 John. And John, really, when he wrote a lot of things that were not milk-level things, if you will. They're more meat-level things. And so in talking about it in 1 John 3 today, we really challenge ourselves to love our brothers, to love those who are in need, to obey what Jesus said when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so with that, we're going to be met with some opportunities, I am quite certain, in the next few weeks, to be able to serve, to be able to help. And it doesn't mean that we just throw our money at it. If we've got money and we can do that, fine. But maybe it means that we throw our time at it. We throw our efforts at it. We do what we can to help one another, to serve one another. And so for the next few weeks, I want to focus, again, all the way to Jesus Christ, right? I want to focus on our giving. And I'm not talking about, please, these are not going to be sermons on we need to give more and all that. Certainly, if we can give more, we need to give more, right? But I'm talking about our giving of our time, giving of our abilities, giving of ourselves to help those who need Jesus. Boy, the world needs Jesus. The world needs Jesus. Maybe your neighbors need Jesus. Maybe your family needs Jesus. Maybe you need Jesus. But there are going to be people that we certainly know need Jesus Christ. And it's our responsibility. Again, we just spent time, right? Eating turkey, dressing, all these leftovers. We know that thanks can't be done. We talked about that last week. We can't just point out one time of the year that we're thankful and count our many blessings, right? Just like giving can't be one time of the year. We can't be giving type people. These are things that God created us to be. Mindsets, attitudes that God created us to be. So as we enter into this series of lessons on focused on giving to close out our year this year, I want to ask you today as we start this lesson, what's the greatest gift you've ever been given? And of course, I'm not going to get everybody's answer on that. But I just want you to think about it. Now, it depends on what age we are, I believe. You know, as a child, I would tell you what toy was my greatest toy. As a teenager, I might tell you what shirt or shoes were my greatest, right? You know, as an adult now, you know, it depends on what age of life. It might be your new device. It might be a new tool. It might be a new gun. It might be a new purse, whatever. We could sit there and we could think. And then some of us who are more mature would be like, oh, it was our children, right? And we get that mindset. But at the end of the day, folks, the greatest gift we've ever been given is freedom from sin. You didn't amen that, but I know you did in your mind. That is the greatest gift we've ever been given. The greatest gift that we have been given was Jesus Christ. The greatest gift we have ever been given is freedom from sin. And if we do not have our mindset there, we're not going to be willing to give Jesus to others. You see, Paul understood that. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. Romans 11, we're going to have this prelude, and then we're going to get into Romans 12 for our text today. But Romans 11, let's begin in verse 35 here. Paul said, this is the very end of chapter 11. Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, what Johnny read to us from Colossians 1, Paul echoed a lot. Okay, all this was created by Him, for Him, through Him. Everything we know has been from Jesus Christ, from God, from His Holy Spirit. Everything we know, everything we have, it all comes from God. And that mindset has to be our mindset, not just this time of the year, but throughout our lives. So when someone says, hey, how did you get that? Well, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. That's what Bill's talking about. Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you what God has done for me. Let me tell you how God has blessed me. Let me tell you how God has saved this old wretched man. God has saved me. And this is what God can do for you. So I've got to have the mindset today that all things through Him, to Him, and for Him. All things are so that we can bring glory back to Him. So today, as we think about that and we set the scene of this series of lessons on being focused on giving, I want you to think about Paul's life, the one who wrote it. Paul recognized, didn't he? He's inspired by the Holy Spirit, but he recognized what God's done for him. Remember, Paul called himself the what? Chief of all sinners. He said, look, I've done more sin than anybody. That was his mindset. I approved of Christians being killed. I held the coats of the men who stoned young Stephen, who was preaching to us all that day. They stoned him to death, and I approved of it. I drug men and I drug women from their homes, and I separated children. And why? Because I didn't want them to teach in the name of Jesus Christ. So I'm the chief of all sinners. And you know what God did for me? He showed Himself to me. And then He told me, hey, you want to get this sin off of you? Go see Ananias and he'll baptize you. And I was baptized into Christ. And from that moment forward, I've done everything I can to give back. Because what God has given to me. Now let me ask you today. Before we get into our body of our lesson, I don't know what the greatest gift you've ever been given. And again, I think it depends on what stage of life we're at. But let's suppose today that I had the means, not me, don't let me say it to somebody else. Someone walked in here with the means, right? And they said, hey, everybody who's here today. Now, if you're Dave Ramsey out of debt, this isn't going to apply to you. But I'm going to pay your debt off. Okay, you come see me right after services, after we worship together, and I will write a check, and it'll be good, and whatever amount of debt you have, I'm going to pay it off. Let's say that is John Doe, okay? John Doe writes that check. Well, let me tell you, when you have all that extra money coming in, you go think of John Doe. When you don't have any bills to pay, you go think of John Doe. You're going to bake John Doe a cake? You're going to bake him some cookies? You're going to do whatever it takes. Why? Because he paid off your debt and you didn't do anything for it. You're going to remember him always. You're going to take care of him always. You're going to give back to him always. Why? Because he did this great deed for you. Now let me ask you this. The greatest debt of all time was our debt by our sins. The greatest amount that needed to be paid of all time was our sins. You put all our sins together and you talk about national debt, it wouldn't cover it. Trillions and trillions of sin, right? And over all time, and Jesus Christ, with His sacrifice, with His death, with His burial, and with His resurrection, He paid it all. Now my question is, what are we doing back to Him? We're going to remember old John Doe. But are we remembering Jesus Christ? Oh, worship? No, I can't worship Jesus today. I mean, we're in a pandemic. Yeah, I mean, tune in? I mean, what we might... Oh, it glitched one time. I got to cut it off. Come out, you know, and sit 6 feet apart with the pews taped off and wear masks? No, that ain't for me. It ain't about me. We got to get that through our minds. We got to get it through our minds. It's not about me. Quit making it about us. Make it about Him. And once we make it about Him, then it changes our whole outlook of life. You see, it's not about what is it going to do for me. It's about what am I going to do for Him. That's how I understand, truly, giving and giving back. The bulk of our lesson today will come from Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. We know these passages very well, but I wanted you to see chapter 11. Chapter 11, when he said there, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In order to change the way I view things, in order to make it quit being about me and about Him, in order to not ever forget Jesus Christ and what He's done for me, to have a giving kind of life, the first thing I've got to understand is I need to be concerned with my presentation. If I'm going to have a mindset that I am going to have a giving kind of life, a giving kind of attitude, a giving back kind of life, then I've got to, according to Paul now, be concerned with our presentation. When I was a student at Faulkner University, and I went there a long time ago now, okay, that's hard for me to believe, but it has been a long time ago. When I was a student on campus at Faulkner University, we had a class called Sermon Preparation and Delivery. Now, my sermon preparation and delivery changed a lot since that time, and I don't think that's bad. I think you got to keep growing and developing and challenging yourself. But one thing, he was an old school kind of preacher. He was the kind of guy, he may have cut his grass in a suit, I don't know. But that was just the mentality back then. You wore it everywhere, right? But he told us, day one, men, always shine your shoes. I didn't take his advice. My shoes are not shiny. But what this good man was telling us was your presentation matters. The way you present yourself in front of your... Now, I hope you love me despite the way I've presented myself, okay? But I think it boils down to this spiritually. We got to shine our hearts. We got to allow God to shine us up. Because I can dirty my heart up with the best of them. I can dirty my mind up with the best of them. I can dirty my soul up with the best of them. But we've got to allow God, through Jesus Christ's blood, to shine us up and so that we can present our bodies to Him. Think about that. When they presented an animal before the priest in the Old Testament, what was it supposed to have? No spots, no blemishes. It wasn't supposed to be lame. It wasn't supposed to be some just, oh, we don't need this animal anymore. Let's go give it to God. That was not the mindset. They were to take an unspotted, an unblemished, a whole lamb and present it to that high priest. And that high priest would bleed that animal out, take and sprinkle that blood on the Ark of the Covenant. And their God, the presence of God, would accept that sacrifice or reject that sacrifice. Now, the bottom line is, God hasn't changed. We're still supposed to present our lives, our bodies, to Him. We need to clean them up, but we got to allow Him to do it. The first thing we should do is present our bodies a what? Living sacrifice. Go back in your minds to Cain and Abel. Cain gave to God, but his gift was rejected. Abel gave to God. What was the command? Give to God. But there was more to it than that. Present your best. Abel gave of the first fruits. Cain gave of those leftovers, if you will. And at the end of the day, Cain, because of his jealousy, because of his rage, because of his envy, he murdered his own brother. All because he didn't give to God the best of his sacrifice. Abraham in the book of Genesis as well, he'd been waiting on this child Isaac a long time, right? 100 years. You're going to have a child. And guess what? He's going to be the father of all nations. He's going to be the father of faith. And through his seed, all seeds will be blessed. Man, Abraham thought that was too good to be true. And remember, they laughed about it and everything else. But ultimately, he says, hey, you know, that sounds good, God, but I'm going to do this on my own because I'm not getting any younger. And they go and they have Ishmael, right? He and Hagar. God said, that's not the one. So ultimately, Isaac is born. Now, Isaac, through this seed, you're going to have all nations blessed, right? I mean, you're going to have so many descendants, it's going to be like sand on the seashore, stars in the sky. Well, then all of a sudden, around, 12 years old or so, he was a lad, right, that God says, hey, oh, by the way, that Isaac, I want you to sacrifice him. What? Abraham didn't do that, I don't believe. But Terry would have. What? God, I've waited this long for this son? He's my only son through Sarah? And now you want me, you promised he would be the father of all these nations? All nations through his seed would be blessed. I'll have all these descendants. Now you want me to kill him? You see, Abraham was willing to do it. Why? Because God asked of his best. But he also had faith that God was going to save Isaac. And he did. But God hasn't changed. When you think, oh, that seems extreme. How can we give ourselves a living sacrifice to God? Well, it's not too extreme when you think of what God did for us. He looked at his son one day and he said, okay, it's time. You've got to go. You're going to go, and you know exactly what's going to happen, Jesus. You're going to be born a child. You're going to grow into a man. And around 30 years old, you're going to begin your public ministry. And in 3 years after that, they're going to reject you. They're going to spit on you. They're going to beat you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to beat you to the inch of your life with a scourging. They're going to nail you to some old tree, and then you're going to die by crucifixion, and you're going to suffocate. And Jesus did it. Long before we were ever born, He did it for us. And so when He asked us to present our best, God's not doing something He hasn't already done. So the question has to be, am I presenting my best to God every day? Am I presenting God my best every hour? The second thing He says in this presentation, He says, I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Then He said, I want you to be holy. Webster defines holy as hallowed, sacred, reserved from profane or common use. Remember that definition now. Hallowed, sacred, reserved from profane or common use. This is special, right? So the question has to be then, do I present myself to God every single day holy? The way I dress, is it holy? The way I talk, is it holy? The things I look at, are they holy? The way I act or react, Is it holy? When I think about being holy, I can only think about being God or how God is, being like God. Now, I can't obtain that kind of holiness. Remember, He's so holy, He can't be in the presence of sin. But what God has asked me to do is to present my body a living sacrifice and to do it holy. You see, I can't do it without Jesus Christ. I can't do it without His blood. But then thirdly in this presentation, He said, I want you to present your bodies holy and acceptable or pleasing to God. God wants our best. He demands our best, but the good news is He didn't demand perfection. Now, I can be perfect in Jesus Christ, right? My sins, if I'm covered in the blood, it's as if I haven't sinned. But as a human being, I am a sinner. Now, I'm going to mess up. He didn't want us to be a programmed robot or He'd have made us that way. He didn't make us not sin. He could have, but He gave us freedom of choice. So He still wants us to choose to please Him. It's kind of like thinking about your children. You want your children to love you. I want my children to love me. I want them to be the best they can possibly be, no matter what that is. I just want them to please God with whatever they do. You see, God desires the same of us as His children. So as we talk about our presentation, the way we present ourselves matters. And it's going to matter if I'm going to be one who continuously gives back to God, right? So I've got to present myself, as Paul said, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. But secondly, if I'm going to have a giving back kind of mentality, then I've got to be concerned about our separation. Our presentation, now our separation. In verse 2, Paul said there in Romans 12, do not be what? Conformed to this world. Paul said we need to be separated from the filthiness of this world. And let's be real, there's a lot of filthiness going on. There's a lot of filthiness around us, man. There is a lot of evil. There's a lot of sin. There's a lot of dirty. There's a lot of yuck. There's a lot of nasty. There's a lot of whatever word you want to describe it, whatever adjective you want to use there. That's what sin is all around us. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, when he was talking there on the day of Pentecost, when he had told him in verse 38 to repent and be baptized every one of you, he goes on and he says, be saved from this crooked and perverse generation. Now that was 2,000 years ago. We think it's evil today. Guess what? I recently read about Bonnie and Clyde. Don't have this in my notes. It's just a bonus for you. Bonnie and Clyde, that story of them being captured and murdered happened in 1934. That's a long time ago. Now, some of you are thinking, that wasn't that long ago. But it is a long time ago, right? 1934. Bonnie and Clyde went on this killing spree. This man and this woman. They were so infamous that they had people celebrating when they killed cops. People were dancing in the streets. People wouldn't give up information on Bonnie and Clyde because they had turned on the police. Boy, that sounds like 2020. But this was 1934. 2,000 years ago, Peter said, be saved from this perverse and crooked generation. What I'm trying to tell you, folks, it doesn't matter if it was 2,000 years ago, 1930s, or 2020. Sin is sin. And it's always going to be here until God destroys this world. And what we've got to understand in this is even though it's here and it's all around us, it was 2,000 years ago, it was in the 1930s, and it's here today, guess what? We're still called to be separated from the sin of this world. We got to live out of this world. Paul used the word conform here. When I think of conform, I think of water. Water does not have any substance to it. It's a liquid, obviously, and it conforms. You could pour it in this room if the walls would hold up and it would fill this room. It'd be the shape of this room. Or you could pour it in a glass and be the shape of the glass. Whatever form it's being held by, it's going to be like that. We are not supposed to be water. We're supposed to have some substance to us, some backbone to us. And so guess what? Then I think of Plato. Plato, some people like me can make a ball or a snake really well out of Plato. But then some people can form like humans that have facial features, and I mean, they're really good at it. I'm good at a ball and a snake. What's the point? Are we going to be water or are we going to be Plato? You see, God said He is the potter. And we are the clay. We cannot conform to this world. We must separate ourselves from it and allow God to mold us. Pilate, in Mark chapter 15, he conformed. His governor had power. But you know what he did? He conformed. He conformed to the crowd noise. What was the crowd saying? Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said, okay. He knew he was innocent. He knew the man wasn't some nasty, murderous thief like Barabbas. But he conformed to the crowd noise. He could have been different. He could have separated himself. He could have been non-conforming and let Jesus go. But he gave in. We are concerned about living a life that pleases God, a life that is willing to give back to God, then we must separate ourselves from the world today. We must be the ecclesia. And that is the called out. But thirdly, as we continue in this verse now, if I'm going to have this mindset to enter in this giving season with not just giving this time of the year, but giving back all the time to God, then I got to be concerned about our transformation. We got to be concerned about our presentation, present your bodies. We got to be concerned about our separation, do not be conformed to this world. We got to be concerned about our transformation, but be transformed, right? He said in verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When I was a child, I played with Transformers. Transformers made a comeback. You can go to Walmart right now in the toy aisle and still see Transformers. Transformers had a theme. The toy that I played with, the TV show that I played with that made this comeback, they had this theme. It said, hey, we are more than meets the eye. More than meets the eye. Here's why that was. Is one of them may look like an 18-wheeler, right? He may look like an 18-wheeler driving down the road, but all of a sudden he can transform into the leader of the robots. Okay? Because he looked like an 18-wheeler, he's more than that. He can transform and be something totally different. Well, we as Christians must be more than meets the eye. We may look like a fellow worldly person. We look like the people around us, right? We look like them, we act like, we talk like them, the way our accents are, our hairs may be styled the same, our clothes may be looking the same, whatever, but we've got to be more than meets the eye. We can look like the world, but we can't be the world. In fact, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, listen to what Paul says here. This is verses 19 through 23 now. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, that sounds a lot like our day today. That's what the world's doing, right? They're adulterers. They're fornicators. That's sex before marriage. They're unclean. They're lewd. You don't think they're lewd, man. I don't really want you to go on social media, but just see some of the things that are going on. Idolatry? Oh, no, we don't worship statues. Well, anything before God is an idol. Man, there's a lot of things people put before God. Sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts. I mean, we could go on. That sounds like the world today. Who look like us? I mean, as human beings, as fellow human beings, they look like us, right? But here's what the verse goes on to say. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. We all may look like people that do fruits, produce fruits of the world. But we've got to be more than meets the eye. We've got to be transformed. It's the same word, metamorphi, which is metamorphosis, right? Which is a going from a caterpillar to a butterfly. That is a transformation. It was that caterpillar, that fuzzy, ugly-looking little caterpillar that becomes that beautiful butterfly was more than met the eye. And that's who we have to be. If we ended there, we've got a pretty good sermon. Paul said, again, not my words, his. We've got to be concerned about our presentation. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We've got to be concerned about our separation, right? Do not be conformed to this world. We've got to be concerned about our transformation, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But if you go back and look at the text, it doesn't end there. He says in verse 2 that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If I'm going to truly be who God wants me to be, to have a giving kind of life, a giving back kind of life, remember, all things are made for Him, through Him, and by Him. Okay? If I'm going to remember that, then I've got to do all these things, but there's one more. I've got to be concerned about my demonstration. As a coach, players have come up, now that I've moved from coaching a position to coaching their strength and their conditioning. A kid will say to me, hey coach, I want to be able to bench press 300 pounds. And you know what they'll do? Nothing. On their own. They only do it when I'm there, when we're watching or whatever. Well, guess what? You can tell me all day long how strong you want to be. Or when I was a position coach, you can tell me I won't miss that tackle again. I won't miss that block again. You can tell me all day long, right? But talk is cheap. Don't tell me, show me. Can you imagine God saying the same thing? Oh, God. Yeah, I'm gonna present my body to you, a living sacrifice. I'm going to be holy, I'm going to be acceptable, and be pleasing to you. God, I'm going to separate myself from the world. I'm not going to conform to the world. I'm going to be transformed, God. I'm going to be more than meets the eye. I may look like other people, but I'm not going to act like other people. I'm not going to talk like other people. And we say that all day long. But God said, don't tell me, show me. Show me. You know why? Because talk is cheap. We can get fired up about all these other things. When it comes time to put it in practice, sometimes we cower down. You see, we sing and we sing about soldiers of the cross. Okay? We can't be a soldier of the cross and go cower down in some bunker. In fact, our song says, soldiers of Christ, arise. and put your armor on. We can't be a soldier of the cross if I'm unwilling to stand up and get ready to fight. I can't be one who gives back if I first don't say I'm going to give myself, but first don't give myself to Him. So as we get ready to close out today, I want you to think about some things. I want you to think that we're able to do this. We're able to enter into this giving kind of mindset, this giving back kind of mindset, by mimicking the life of the one who challenged us in the first place. Paul presented himself to be a very scary and hard man. In fact, Ananias, when he was supposed to teach Paul, he said, "Oh, you mean Saul of Tarsus? The man who's dragging people away? The man who killed Stephen the other day? You want me to teach him, Jesus?" You see, Paul presented himself at first, the one who challenged us today, he presented himself as a hard and scary man. Why? Paul had not yet separated himself from the ways of the world and the law that he believed in. Paul needed transforming. And Jesus provided that opportunity beginning on the road to Damascus. After Paul was baptized, you know what he did? He hit the ground running. He stopped in synagogues and other difficult places along the way. Paul didn't just look the part. He lived the part. He was demonstrating the Christian life, not just talking about it. So today, as we mimic the life of Paul, do we need changing? Are we presenting ourselves a living sacrifice? Are we separated from the world, or are we conformed to it? Have we transformed our minds and our hearts? Are they still stubborn and hard? If we need to change, we need to demonstrate it right now. If you're here today and you're not where you need to be spiritually, let's change our lives. If I've made everything about me lately, if I felt sorry for myself in this year, if I felt sorry for myself with not being able to get out and worship or complain when something flickers or just say, "Hey, you know, it's not real convenient, so I'm just going to not be there today." If that's been my mindset, it's time to change it. It's time to demonstrate it. Talk is cheap. Let's change it right now together. We stand and sing.